We have been working through this series on the Bible and health, and I'm taking a lot of stuff from Dr. Colbert's book, The Seven Pillars of Health, just taking a look at what the Bible has to say. He's an MD who is a Christian, and he attempts to treat people in kind of a biblical manner, using the admonitions and the warnings and the advice of the Scriptures. And the Lord has made us fearfully and wonderfully, and He's given provision for us to be cared for. That's part of His mercy. I was explaining when we preached on the streets yesterday, the mercy of God is what gives you and sustains you in your physical life. And the grace of God is what gives you spiritual life. And of course, that's the greater thing. We need spiritual life more than physical life. But while we're still here and we're in this body, it's nice to have some help along the way, because, and we're trying to serve the Lord, like Jesus said to the men in the garden, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so often our flesh is weak when we want to do something, and it's often weak because we haven't taken the time to learn the rules of health that God has put forth in His Bible. Now, just because we follow these rules of health doesn't automatically mean we'll always be healthy. Because, as we know, life is an up and down, waxing and waning type of a thing. And illnesses do come on planet Earth. This Earth is cursed, and part of the curse is illness. Part of the curse is the fact that there are dangerous critters out there that want to harm us, whether they be the big ones like a lion, tiger, bear that would like to swallow us, or the little ones like the virus, the bacteria, and the fungus that wants to get in there and do its job. And so these things do go on, but the Lord has made provision through plants and medicines that come from plants, and through the way the plants are the healthiest foods for us to eat, that one of the best ways to get healthy, like Hippocrates said, your best medicine is your best food. And your best food is your best medicine. So we've been working our way through here, and I don't know if you remember the pillars that we looked at, but the pillar of rest is very important. Are you still getting adequate amounts of rest? We talked about that a number of weeks ago, but we need rest every single day. That's just the way the Lord made us. We have evening and morning, and we live in a world where we need a time of rest. Jesus said, come apart and let us rest. Make sure you're getting good rest. Very important. We saw the rest of the Scriptures is the best kind you can get. Do a little Bible reading before you go to sleep. Meditate on the Word of God. Get some rest. Rest your mind and your heart and your soul, your spirit and your body in the evening, and get some good rest. We also saw the important pillar of water, drinking water. There's many liquids that we can put in our system, but the best liquid of all is water. I mean, that's what God's given to us. Your body is two-thirds water. The planet is two-thirds water, and the Lord's trying to show us something. And people, especially in a mechanized society, like to have alternative beverages to water. But water should be the main liquid that you partake on a daily basis. It should be water. And so we saw the importance of that, and we saw that there are bad things like fermented liquors, and they're not good, obviously. And then even these carbonated beverages and things like that, and they're not healthy either. You can have maybe a moderation of that stuff, but make the main foundation of what you drink to be water. We saw that. And we've been looking at the past few weeks and observing the different type of food groups, and observing there's a difference between living foods and dead foods. And dead foods are the ones that man has gotten his hands on and processed. And I understand why, why man did it in the first place, because you want to extend the shelf life of foods that would corrupt. All foods corrupt, just like our bodies corrupt. And if they're left at room temperature, you know what would happen to a quart of milk if it's left at room temperature, a pound of meat if it's left at room temperature, and grains, anything like that. Over time, they will corrupt. And so man began to tinker with the particular foods in an attempt to extend the shelf life. But in doing that, he kind of took what is a living food, the way God gives it in its natural state, the living vegetables and the fruits and the grains and things like that, and we kind of messed them up along the way. So we were looking last week at the seven deadly foods, and we see the hand of man in all of them. We see the refined sugar, which we talked about last week briefly, in that the natural sugar comes with the molasses and the fiber, and what man does is strip away the fiber and strip away the molasses and just give you the refined white sugar, which is like it surges through your system and causes a quick high, and then you quickly drop down to this rebound low and where you need a little bit more of that sugar. And so if you're the average American and you get up and you have a box of Cocoa Puffs to start the day, and you know, some people do that, I can't even relate to this stuff, but I guess there are people that literally would wake up and have a bowl of cereal, and does not compute, but I guess there are people that do that. And so you've got this sugar rush going for about an hour or two, and then bang, at 9:30 or 10, you're hitting low until you're grabbing a carbonated beverage, which has more sugar in it, and popping yourself up again. And what you're doing is little by little destroying all aspects of the rest of your body in that way, because you're destroying the pancreas, you're destroying brain cells, you're doing a lot of damage because this sugar is not healthy in supercharged forms. It's in the natural form, it's good. If you get up and have, like I did, a pear this morning, or an apple, as I did this morning, or something like that, because the fiber is still there and the sugar is given by God, and instead of a sugar level doing this type of a thing, it kind of does this type of a thing, a nice gradual type of a curve, waiting for my next meal, which would be lunch. It's a very nice way to put that in there. It's a gentle slope, a gentle incline, kind of like coming up to Jerusalem and then going back down again real easy, rather than this roller coaster ride at Cedar Point. So refined sugar we saw is bad. The next thing we saw that was bad was the refined white flour. And we saw what happened there, in that the way God gives a corn of wheat, if you will, is it has three parts to it. It has the healthy bran on the outside. It has the life-giving germ on the inside. And then it has that filler in there called the endosperm. And that's the filler that has a carbohydrate in it and a sugar in it. And what man does is he refines it by taking all the fiber and the healthy bran away, and he takes the germ out, and he takes that away, and then sells that to health food stores, where you can buy the bran for the fiber, and you can buy the wheat germ, which has the healthy oils and the fats, and then man just gives you the refined endosperm, that nice white stuff there. And he puts it through this process that they use, where they mill it, and they oxidize it, and they put it at high temperature in this process, and as they separate everything out, this endosperm comes out in an ugly gray color. And so he says, well, gee, nobody's going to buy ugly gray bread. So they bleach it with some Clorox and make it nice and white and turn it into Wonder Bread, and they sell it to you like that. And then, of course, they sprinkle a few man-made nutrients, a little vitamin B3 and a little vitamin B1 and that type of stuff, and they give it to you. And it'd be kind of like it'd be kind of like you're walking down the street, you know, you just got your paycheck and you just had it cashed, and you have your $600 or whatever it was, you know, for the week, and you got all the cash and you got all these bills to pay, and you're walking down and a guy holds you up and he takes your entire paycheck from you and then feels bad and gives you a little pocket change. Here's 3 cents and here's a nickel. And that's kind of what they do when they refine this flour. They take all the healthy stuff out and then they feel bad and they sprinkle a little B3 and here's a few pennies and here's something there. Go ahead, you folks, eat it. And we saw that when you eat that stuff, it clogs the cellular machinery in your body. And the one doctor has a saying, the whiter the bread, the sooner you're dead. And so you don't exactly want to eat that stuff. And of course we don't. We try to stick to the whole grain bread. As a matter of fact, there's a formula for bread in the book of Ezekiel. Have you ever read that formula? It's in Ezekiel chapter 4. Ezekiel chapter 4. The Lord is sending Ezekiel forth to to do an object lesson and some teaching to the nation of Israel. And it's going to be an extended preaching stint for him. It's going to last a little over a year. And so the Lord recognizes, since I'm sending him out on this missions trip for a year, I need to provide for him. And so the Lord says in verse 9, here's what you'll eat for this 1 year that you're on this mission trip. Take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and fitches, and put them in one vessel, and make thee bread thereof, according to the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side. 390 days shalt thou eat thereof. And he says, okay, I'm going to provide for you, and because you're my servant and you're working for me, I want to provide for you in a manner whereby you will be healthy enough to fulfill this calling that I have for you. And so Ezekiel is pretty much assured he's going to have good health for the 390 days that God wants him to do this mission, because the Lord's got a very important work for him to do with his people in Jerusalem. Now, that particular bread right there is, you can buy that bread. It's called Ezekiel 4:9 bread. It's made, there's a Christian company that makes it. It takes a lot of time. It's difficult. It's very heavy. Unlike if you take a loaf of Wonder Bread again, which you can, I think you need a string to hold it down. Otherwise, it'll fly away. It's so light. But this bread is kind of heavy. If it drops on your foot, it might break one of your toes. This is a heavy, solid, weighty, meaty type of a bread. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, just going back to chapter 1 in the Bible, and then Leviticus, so Genesis chapter 1, and then I'll show you Leviticus chapter 2. Let me show you something interesting in the Scriptures. Leviticus, or 1 Genesis 1. And here is the Lord, when he's making provision for planet Earth and all the creatures that he made, including the creature made in his image. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. In the image of God. Well, the image of God is Jesus Christ. So we are created to be like Jesus Christ. So that's why we have a head and we have two arms and two legs, because that's how Jesus Christ is. So the Lord had the in his mind, from the foundation of the world and the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, he had determined how Jesus Christ would be. And therefore, he created Adam to look like Jesus. They probably looked a lot alike. They probably would look like brothers. And so he created Adam like this, and he gave him a body like that. That's the image that he gave unto him. And then, of course, the Lord wanted to provide for him. And so verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for, what's your Bible say? What's the last word of that verse?
Meat.
Meat. That's what God considers meat to be. Now, I know what you and I used to consider meat to be, because we've been taught the corrupted form of the word, and we consider it to be animal flesh. But that's not what God considers it. God considers meat to be herbs and fruits and grains. That's the meat of your diet, as far as God is concerned. Now, the average American, the meat of his diet is flesh, animal flesh, cattle flesh, pig flesh, that type of stuff. And the effects of it are, they don't bear a lot of the image of God anymore. So the Lord here, go to Leviticus chapter 2. Leviticus chapter 2. This is only in the King James Bible. This stuff is destroyed in New Bibles. But if you have a King James Bible, you have the Word of Truth, where every word is pure. So the Lord knows what He's saying. He means exactly what He's saying, and He said exactly what He means. And these words are perfectly given to you in a King James Bible. Leviticus chapter 2. In Leviticus, they're giving five offerings that are necessary to be brought to the tabernacle. And in chapter 2, it says in verse 1, and when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be taken from the finest cattle in the field and filleted carefully. Excuse me, I must be reading wrong. No, here's how it reads. When any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour. Not refined flour. Fine flour. The way God made it. With the bran and the germ and the endosperm in the fullness, as you just saw him giving it unto Ezekiel in chapter 4 and verse 9. And God says, that's a meat offering unto me. That's my meat offering, saith the Lord. Okay. Not saith Brother Mike. I didn't write it. You just take a look at your own Bible. That's the meat offering. And the meat offering is made of the grain and the whole living type of food, not some dead carcass from an animal. And that's why later on when Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life and my body is broken bread, broken body. I'm the meat offering. This body will be the meat offering, explaining in typology there. And that's why when we do the Lord's table, we take the meat of unleavened bread and we partake of that remembering what he did for us. That's the meat. So what are you saying, Brother Mike? We're supposed to be vegetarians? Originally, yes, you were. That's how God created us to be vegetarians. Now, because of the flood, Genesis chapter 9, the Lord gave permission to eat flesh. But it's not to be the major portion of the diet. It's to be the minor portion of your diet. After all, the earth had just been flooded. All the crops had been damaged. When they got out of the ark, they couldn't go get a harvest anywhere. They had to plant and wait an entire year for a harvest. And so the Lord said, look, some of the grain that's left on the boat, you can eat that, but I know you're going to need some other things, and I'm giving you permission now to eat of some of these clean animals. Because I don't know if you remember your Bible math real well, but the Lord, when he put them on the ark, he put them in pairs of the different animals. And the clean animals were done in seven pairs. And the unclean animals were done in two pairs. There wasn't two of each kind on the ark. There was four of each kind on the ark. Unless it was a clean animal, there was 14 of the clean animals on the ark. And so the Lord gave them provision for having some flesh for a little while until the crops were regrown. And then they would go back to the major portion of their diet, as the Lord would have it to be the meat of their diet, to be healthy foods. And certainly not refined flour. Or the next one, which is processed meats. And we looked at that last week, and we saw that the way they process meats is they use this advanced meat recovery system that they use nowadays. And what they'll do is they'll take these meats and they'll just grind them up when they're making the bolognese and the salamis and the cold cuts and all the things high in the saturated fats and putting the nitrates and the nitrites in them so these things will last for a long time without spoiling. And they use this advanced recovery system and they refine this meat over a period of time and they'll put in the spinal cord and the bone and the cartilage and the ears and they'll just grind everything up as they make it for you. Now that we were studying, if you folks missed Thursday night, you missed a good teaching and you want to get a hold of it, it's Deuteronomy chapter 14. And it took us about an hour and 15 minutes to go through that chapter. But that chapter is God's chapter on diet for the Jews when they go into the promised land. And he lays out what are the healthy foods to eat. And he talked about the healthy fowls, the healthy fish, and the healthy beasts that they were permitted to eat. And we went through that very carefully. And the way the Jews were told to do it was to use a process whereby the animal had to be healthy, the animal had to be viable, the animal had to be caught. Now, look, we can't live up to these standards, obviously. So I understand a hunter goes out there and shoots one, and I hope he does the best he can to drain the blood and take the innards out and do what he's supposed to do. And you can eat the venison, and venison's okay, the Lord said. We saw it in Deuteronomy 14, and we saw all those things. But the way the Jews do it in a kosher process is they hold that animal real close, and they comfort the animal, and they pet the animal, and the guy's training, he has a sharp knife, and he takes out that jugular and that carotid, and they just, that blood goes out, and that animal literally goes to sleep in his hands. The lambs will often lick his hands while he's doing that, and they just fall asleep that way, and that's how they die, in a very peaceful manner. It's very humane, and it doesn't excite the animal, and so none of the epinephrine flows around, and all those things that cause other chemicals to release into the muscles and the flesh, which then you and I eat. All those problems aren't in there because of the humane way in which those animals die. It takes a long time to learn how to do that. I mean, to be good, to be really good with that knife, you know, you're not chopping at it and you're not sawing at it. You're able to do it so well and so quickly. There's very few nerves in the neck. It's one of the easiest areas for us to do surgery on. That's why I told you we can do carotid artery surgeries with people awake. Okay, you're working on the carotid artery. I've done many of them. And that takes very little anesthesia and get through that. And so the Lord has this whole system worked out. And then when the Jew, after he's drained all the blood, and there's all those toxins in the blood, and when you kill an animal another way, and that blood coagulates in the meat there, you know, in the veins and in the arteries, and you're eating coagulated blood in there that gets cooked and everything with all the poisons that are in there and the malaria and all those things that are found and the mad cow disease and all that kind of stuff. It's much healthier to eat the kosher food. And then the Jews not only drain the blood, but then they strip the veins away and they strip the sinews away. And they have the most healthy meat. The most healthy meat you can eat is kosher meat. And I know it's expensive, but if meat's only a portion of your diet, not a mainstay of your diet, you can afford it. The Lord will make provision for you. And then guess what happens to all the stuff the Jews throw away? The meat companies buy. They buy the sinews and they buy the veins and they buy all the stuff the Jew throws away and they put it in the advanced meat recovery system and make a nice bologna for you. And here you go. B-O-L-O-G-N-A. Somebody makes the very best. I don't know what it was. There's jingles. And that's what they do. And that's what we all get to eat in these processed meats. And they're dangerous stuff. And then we saw the relationship for little children, feeding little kids bologna and hot dogs, and the increased leukemia and the lymphoma rates. These are things you don't want to do. Okay, you want to feed your children properly. Okay, let's look at a few more of the deadly foods. Boy, man's something, isn't he? When man puts his hand to something, it just causes death. That's all man's capable of doing is killing stuff. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And both spiritually and physically, and what He created is good. But once we get our hands in the mix, we only bring things down. And if we do that with food, what do you think we do when we translate Bibles? Christians, do we have any brains out there? I mean, what does man do when he gets his hand into a Bible translation? All right, another thing is processed fats. Processed fats. Now fats, there are three key nutrients that you need to take in on a daily basis. You need protein, you need carbohydrate, and you need fat. You need it every day. And in a balanced diet, you'll get those things. The Lord will provide. Fat is what adds the taste to food. It's fat. I mean, when I was younger and my mother would go shopping for my dad, who used to be a weightlifter and a wrestler and all that stuff and phys ed teacher, and she would buy steaks for him, she would look for the marbled steaks. The marbled look with the fat through there, because that was the best tasting steak, because that fat is in there. That fat provides that mouth feel and that taste and that richness. And it gets those hormones going in the body that makes you feel real good. And then after a while, you take a little nap, all that type of thing. Food becomes a comfort thing that way. Now, what man does with these fats is the man begins to process them. In the early 1900s, there was a German scientist, about 1902, and he perfected this process of emulsification of fats. And what he did was he would take oils that were liquid at room temperature, corn oil, soy, cottonseed, canola. And he would take a metal catalyst like nickel, and he'd put it in a high pressure chamber and push hydrogen gas through it real heavily and begin to saturate the fats with hydrogen, and made these things called hydrogenated fats or saturated fats or trans fats. And he did it for the purpose because oil would spoil if left on a shelf. And if he emulsified this and hydrogenated this, it would last a little longer. And you got to understand, the change that was happening from an agrarian society where everyone had their own garden to now all of a sudden few people are farmers and most people are something else, and they got to eat, and the farmers got to get the food to them, and it's got to last for a while. So you understand how these processes came into being. Now fats are necessary in your system, but you want the right kind of fats. The fats that naturally come, believe it or not, in the grains. There's fat in grain. And there is fat in vegetables, especially like avocados. There is fat in bananas. There are natural fats in there. There is fat in fish oil. And by the way, just another thing in terms of your eating of flesh, if you're going to eat flesh, the three groups of flesh, there's fish, there's fowl, and there's beast. And that's the exact order they were created in. Genesis 1, God first made the fish, and then he made the fowl. And then on the next day he made the beast. And in terms of health, that's the order of health. Fish is the healthiest, followed by the fowl, last of all by the beast. Okay, the healthiest of all is fish. And there's good fats in the fish and even in the fowl and in the beast. But these type of fats, adding all this hydrogen to it, they take it. And then what happens is this liquid thing becomes kind of semi-solid. And he said, that's interesting. Of course, it was gray after the process, just like the bread. It was all gray. So, well, you know what? If we bleach it and put some yellow dye in there and turn it into a nice rectangular stick, we can call it margarine. And so that's what they do, and that's what margarine is. It's this emulsified, hydrogenated, processed fat. It's as unhealthy as you can get. Butter is healthier than margarine. Oh, the scientists are wrong again. Science, the great false god, that if you bow down to him enough, you'll get a stiff neck and finally can't get off your knees and you're all ruined, is what happens. You're just laying there on the ground prostate with a broken nose. You don't want to do that. Science is a false god that gets things wrong and then tries to correct it over time. So these trans fats, these hydrogenated fats, are an enemy of your heart. They like to move right into the arteries and begin fattening them up for the kill. And then the arteries get clogged and clogged, and they get thinner and thinner. Instead of having a nice open space for the blood to flow through, it clogs down, and there's this little wispy area where the blood is trying to course through. And that's not so bad if it's a capillary, but it's real bad if it's an important artery like an aorta or a carotid artery, which is trying to feed the blood to the brain. I mean, you wouldn't believe the things I see in an operating room. I mean, maybe if they, on those channels that Ed watches every so often with his surgeries, he tells me about them, if they've ever done one with a carotid artery and arterectomy, you might want to watch that one day. Because you get that artery in the neck, you get it nicely dissected and it's flowing there, and the thing is laying there, and then you take a knife and you open that artery up, and there's all this glistening fat all the way through there. And then he's got to take these special scalpels and try and get the fat out of there. And you just wouldn't believe the amount of fat we remove from these arteries and just throw on the table. It's unbelievable. This thick fat, and it gets calcium gets in there and it gets real hard. You've ever seen those, brother? Have you seen those carotid arteries? They're something to watch. They're just amazing. And of course, he's got to be real careful while he's scraping it out, because if one of those pieces of fat slips away and goes up to the brain, you got an instant stroke on your hands. So it's very dangerous surgery to do, a high risk, one of the highest risk surgeries to do. Vascular surgeons are, it's tough to find a good one. If you ever need one, I know one, but still, hopefully you won't need one. If you obey these principles, you won't get all that fat in your arteries there. Arterial disease. Especially in the aorta. That's the most important artery of the body. And when that thing begins to develop fat in it, a number of things can happen. Sometimes it just fattens itself down. Sometimes what happens is the fat works its way into part of the wall and opens it up, and then an aneurysm begins to develop. And it pouches out there after a while. And then, oh gosh, and when those aneurysms blow, they're almost impossible to fix. I've been in the hospital where someone blew an aneurysm right in front of us, and we can't save them even when we're right there. We rush into the OR and do it. They're very, very difficult. You got to catch those aneurysms ahead of time before they've blown, and you got to do very difficult high-risk surgery on them, and put grafts in them, and the lifespan is always shortened because of it. Very difficult stuff. But these saturated fats are just exceedingly unhealthy. Go to Leviticus chapter 7. Leviticus chapter 7. Now, Even in something that the Lord allowed His people to eat, in Leviticus chapter 7, and the Lord allowed His people to eat sheep and oxen and goat. That was permissible food for His people to eat, and I know Jesus Himself ate lamb. Okay, but even here, look what He says in verse 22 and 23, Leviticus 7. He says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Ye shall eat no manner of fat of ox, or of sheep, or of goat." So even in something I'm permitting you to eat that, don't eat the fat. I mean, I know the fat tastes good, and it's got that the fat, you know, the gravy, the fat, and you know, we enjoy that kind of stuff. It's real comforting, and it tastes real good, but it's not healthy, God says. So they learned to prepare, and they didn't have big, thick, marbled cuts of ox and goat and sheep. They took the lean cuts that had the least amount of fat, and whatever fat they were able to remove, they removed it, and that's how they fed it one to another. Why? Because even that natural fat in a high concentration will cause the problem with the arteries. And as the artery goes, so goes your health. The life of the flesh is in the blood. If the blood can't get to a particular part of the body, that part of the body begins to die. And fat is a wonderful clogger of arteries and veins. And it's amazing. You know, you see people, they look alive, but I know on the inside there are organs that are dying inside of there. That's just a reality. You can't fight truth. Now, you might not see it now, but inside there's some death going on in the kidney, and there's some death going on in the brain, and there's some death going on here, and that's just what's going on. So that's something you want to avoid. The place to get your fats are the natural sources. Bananas, avocados, whole grains, that Ezekiel bread. Because the germ, I took the picture down, but the germ has that germ oil, which is a real healthy type. Fish is very healthy. Omega-3 fats, they're very good. They're very healthy to have. Alright, other deadly food. Now these aren't really foods, but these are now the chemicals that are floating around that are, gosh, they're just about everywhere. I mean, nowadays they're being put everywhere. MSG. It's an acronym, a shortened initials for monosodium glutamate. Glutamic acid is a natural amino acid in the body. Your body needs 22 amino acids to build all the proteins. All of your proteins are built up from amino acids. There are 22. They're the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet to make up the proteins in your body. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 amino acids that build all the proteins in your body. All your structures are built from those 22 amino acids. And of the 22, 8 are essential amino acids. Isn't that curious? 8 is the number of the new birth. There are 8 essential amino acids that your body cannot produce. It must get from exogenous sources, from the food stuff. Once it has those 8, it can reprocess those 8 into all 22. But it needs those 8. Amazing. Bible math and human study is amazing stuff. Now this monosodium glutamate is, glutamic acid is one of those amino acids. And what they did was they stuck a sodium on it, one salt sodium on there, and they put it in there, and what they found is because it's a natural amino acid. There's a receptor on your taste buds. And when it hits the taste bud gets excited like it just got some food, even though it really didn't. But the taste bud was all excited. It's like getting tickled. You like getting tickled? Okay. And that's, it tickles your taste buds. And so what they've learned is to put this monosodium glutamate as an additive into foods to enhance the taste. Even if it's a lousy tasting food, your taste bud's all excited and thinks it just had something good. So you can go out to I don't want to disparage them, but like a Chinese restaurant, you know, where maybe the food isn't all that good and isn't prepared all that well, but with enough MSG, that was good. I'd like a little more of that. And that's how they fool you into doing this and stimulating your taste buds, stimulating your appetite. And they put this in almost all processed foods. Now the way they arrange a grocery store. If you ever look carefully in a grocery store, you almost they got kind of a similar layout to them. You kind of walk in and you either go this way or that way to the produce, and you'll always find like the produce is around the perimeter. And then you work the perimeter a little more and there'll be the dairy. And then you work the perimeter a little more and there'll be the frozen foods. And then in the middle are all those shelf items with the boxes and the pretty packages and everything like that. That's the forest you want to stay out of. Okay? Because in there were all those processed, man-made, refined flours, refined sugars, processed fats, and MSG. That's where they put all that stuff in there. And lots of the MSG and these other additives to enhance the shelf life and enhance the flavor. But really, they're nutritionally void. I wish they were just a zero. They're actually a negative. I'm beginning to learn some things with recently. As you get older, you learn things, so I'll share with you. I used to measure things on a scale of 0 to 10, but with this particular administration, I've realized 0 is too good of a grade for them. And so now I'm recalibrating how to measure an administration or anything, not 0 to 10, negative 10 to positive 10. I wish some things were just zero. Some things are actually negative and they're harmful for you, like this administration is for this country and like these foods are for your system. They're not zeros, they're less than zero. Zero would be good. And this MSG is found in gravies and soups and salad dressings and bouillon products and soy sauce and Worcestershire sauce and dry milk powder and processed meats and frozen entrees and ice cream, and the list goes on and on and on. And restaurants use a lot of MSG in the meats that they prepare because they want you liking it and coming back. However, this MSG is a neurotoxin. That means it kills nerves. It's toxic to the nerves in your body. And do you have many nerves? Yeah, you got them everywhere. They run everywhere. They connect the brain to all the organs of the body, not just the muscles. You have an autonomic nervous system on the inside that connects to your heart. And even when you don't think about it, it's working as long as it isn't being poisoned. And if it gets poisoned, all of a sudden you get arrhythmias in your heart and palpitations and flutters, and maybe it's hopefully something as benign as atrial fibrillation, but sometimes it could be ventricular, and if that becomes ventricular fibrillation, you're not going to live for long, maybe 3 minutes, and you're going to die. And you hear about these young kids, these athletes dying from sudden death syndrome. They're not having heart attacks, folks. 17-year-old kids don't have heart attacks. What happens to them is they go into an arrhythmia. And even though their heart is healthy, the muscle, and even though the vessels are still clean, because 17 years is not enough to put fat in there, although you can find fatty streaking. Now, the kids in motor vehicle accidents, when they do the autopsies on them, they find fatty streaking in arteries as early as the age of 7 and 8 now. And I just want to say, time out. That's a degenerative disease. It shouldn't happen until you're 57 or 58. And if you got fat in your arteries at 7 or 8, I guess Ronald McDonald is a success. Yeah, but these kids are dying from arrhythmias. And an arrhythmia is worse than just having a little fat in your artery, because it's incredibly fatal. I mean, if there's not a rescue team there within 4 minutes, you can kind of say goodbye. Seattle criteria is 4 minutes, isn't it, brother? 4 minutes to CPR and then 8 minutes to advanced life support, and then they're dead. Yeah. Have they dropped it down now, even less? Okay, the criteria used to be 4 and 8. Now it's 3 and 6?
I think it's 4 and 8.
It's still 4 and 8? Yeah, 4 and 8 now. So this is neurotoxic, and very young people are most susceptible to this neurotoxin. It also, this MSG gets in the pancreas, and it causes the pancreas to overproduce on insulin, which causes you to go in a sugar drop, and then you need like a cola or something. These guys are pretty smart. They want you addicted to their stuff. But then that wears your pancreas out, and you end up with type 2 diabetes, which is an epidemic in the United States of America. Yeah. Seems like everybody has type 2 diabetes nowadays. It ought not to be that way if we're eating healthy. All right, MSG. Here's another one, aspartame, or aspartame. I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but I know what it's made up of. Aspartame is a new sweetener that was made up. It sounds like a good idea. What they take is they take aspartic acid, which is an amino acid. They take phenylalanine, which is another amino acid, and they put them together with a methanol group in the center and bind them together in a unique type of a bond. And it kind of gives it a nice sweet flavor. And so you find these artificial sweeteners in the little packs instead of sugar. Look, have sugar. You're better to have refined sugar than you are to have one of these artificial chemicals. All right, and
any diet
syrups, yeah, diet sodas, diet products. This aspartame. I don't know if there's an alternate name for it, but I just want to tell you what this stuff does. NutraSweet's another name for it. Okay, what this stuff does is when it gets into your body has to break things down because that's the only way things can get into the cells. So it has natural processes, and it breaks the phenylalanine from the aspartic acid, and off comes the methyl group, and the methyl group is turned into a methanol. And that's wood alcohol, that's grain alcohol. Okay? A grain alcohol is very deadly. 10 milliliters of grain alcohol, and you're blind. 30 milliliters and you're dead. And you say, well, Brother Mike, what's a milliliter? Okay, let me put it this way. 30 mLs is 1 ounce. So if these guys who like to do shots, you know, and they're proud of themselves and they drink regular alcohol, methanol is like ethanol on steroids. Ethanol is alcohol. We talked about this the other night on the Deuteronomy 14 tapes. Ethanol is a strong drink. Wine, the ethanol inside there. And that stuff is a neurotoxin, but it's a slow neurotoxin. You know, it takes a long time for it to work. But methanol is a fast neurotoxin. It goes right into the heart of the cells, goes right to the mitochondria, and shuts them down. Inside your cell is a power plant called the mitochondria. Every other organelle is dependent on that. When that shuts down, the lights go out everywhere. The nucleus doesn't work. The ribosomes don't work. Nothing works. The endoplasmic reticulum shuts down. The entire cell shuts down, and you have cell death. And it causes anoxia and cell death. Even if you're on 100% oxygen, you'll die because it causes an intracellular anoxia. 1 ounce of methanol. Aspartame turns into methanol in the system. And neurotoxin. And so, again, I mean, I don't know for sure, but I think of this, you know, your nervous system. Multiple sclerosis. Parkinson's disease. All these problems inside the nervous system and the brain are being poisoned by this methanol if you're taking it in. Another thing that happens, it's bad enough, it's methanol, but then when it passes through the liver, there's a dehydrogenase enzyme inside the liver that tries to fix the methanol, and it knocks a piece off of it and it turns it into formaldehyde. And so you go from the frying pan into the fire. Formaldehyde is embalming fluid. And then that circulates through the system. And then the liver tries one more time and turns it into formic acid. And that goes right for the eyes and right for the retinal arteries in the eyes. And that's why you're blind with 10 mLs. 1/3 of an ounce and you're blind. So that's another thing you might want to avoid. Is aspartame. And then there's the last one is something called Splenda, which isn't so splendid. And it's a new type of a sweetener. It's called a sucralose, and it turns this sugar sucralose into a chlorocarbon. Now, this is not nearly as deadly as the other stuff, but its effect is down on the pancreas. And the pancreas is a very, very important organ, folks. You only have one, and it's the only mixed endocrine-exocrine organ in the entire body. And when the pancreas goes bad and begins to die, you're going to die. It's just that simple. You get someone with pancreatic cancer, and we just kind of give them our condolences and tell them to go home, and because there's not much you can do. I know there's a... We used to try an advanced procedure on them called the Whipple procedure. You know, don't squeeze the pancreas, don't squeeze the Charmin. And we would try the Whipple procedure with Mr. Whipple, but that thing didn't work. And it's a long, brutal surgery. It takes 7 to 9 hours to perform. And pancreatic cancer is bad stuff. Bad stuff. And this stuff goes for the pancreas and works right on the exocrine organs inside, the exocrine glands inside the pancreas. And so my recommendation is stay away from it. These are deadly foods. And the hand that's common to every one of these seven is the hand of man. His fingerprints are all over this stuff. So the way you want to build your diet is with living foods. Now, I'll just tell you simply. I'll make this real simple for you. If you could do this, and I know it's hard, and I've counseled people to do it, and I know it's hard, and don't do it, whatever. But if you could... And you could learn when you wake up in the morning not to have anything but fresh fruit for the first, preferably, 4 hours. But if all you can do is 2, you'd be helping yourself more than you can possibly imagine. Because fruit is the healthiest food that God's probably given to us. It's 90% water with a pure kind of sugar that God invented, mixed with a fiber that cleanses the system. It simultaneously gives you energy and also allows your kidneys and your liver to continue a breakdown process that they began in the night when you were sleeping. When you rest, what your body does, what the Lord has your body do, is process everything that you took in from the prior day. Everything that wasn't used for necessary energy now is processed for repair mechanisms on your cells. And all the toxins are taken and God wants to flush them from your system. So you wake up in the morning and you have to go to the bathroom. And all this stuff is being flushed out. And this detoxifying process is best if it's given 12 hours in a day. So if you sleep for 8 and you can do the fruit for 4, you've gotten your full 12 hours. It's like the way God made the evening and the morning. You got the 12 hours to take the stuff in and the 12 hours to let all the elimination and repair go on. But we, as Americans who don't sleep enough, maybe 4 or 5 hours, maybe 6 hours a night, wake up with this ravenous, hungry tummy because we've eaten late at night before. And by eating before we go to bed, there's hydrochloric acid generated in the stomach. And you wake up and that acid is in your stomach and you got to have something. I got to have something. And you break that fast after 5 hours. And instead of getting a 12-hour processing, you only get 5 hours of processing. And you get 19 hours of bringing stuff in. And the body says, I had like 5 or 6 or 7 more hours of processing to do here. And it says, now what do? We got new foods coming in. Take the old stuff and stick it somewhere. And it just sticks it aside. It inventories it. Okay, stick it into fat. Stick it over here. There's a little extra place here in the heart. Stick it over there. Stick it there. We'll get to it tomorrow night. Let's get on the new day stuff. And it gets working again. And then you do the same process again and it sticks it up there. And you're putting toxins and harmful substances in your body day in and day out. And if you would just allow your body the cleanse period. I wake up in the morning and I won't let anything go past these lips but fresh fruit or fresh fruit juice. And if you do that alone, have at it. Have your processed meats and do what you want. I mean, and I'm not recommending, I mean, still, I would still go in moderation, but I understand some ravenous appetites, you got to do what you want to do. I understand. But if you would do that alone, you would improve your health exponentially. Just that alone. And we're running out of time, so we're going to finish up. And next week I'm going to look at more of how the cell works and how the living foods get in there and help the cell and which type of living foods that you want to put in your system. Get the Deuteronomy 14 teaching. We break down every type of fish that's clean, every type of fowl that's clean, all the meats that are good and healthy. And I'd say enjoy. I'm not like eat, drink, and be merry, but eat and drink and give thanks, and we'll take a look at how to have a good meal and how to give thanks to the Lord, because He gives us things to enjoy, but not to excess, in moderation. Amen. Lord, thank You for helping us to learn these principles. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm always amazed at how You can take these bodies and keep them going for 70, 80, 90 years. It's just amazing knowing what goes on, having studied cellular mechanics and things like that. I must say, Lord, You are a genius. And Lord, unfortunately, sometimes we're such imbeciles. We mess up Your work, and somehow You still override what we do and keep us going. But Lord, help us to work with You and to follow Your principles. And maybe then when our spirit is willing, our flesh will be able to follow right along and get out there into the battle so we can get the gospel of Jesus Christ out until the day You call us home. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.